the third part of the four-part series, Bless This Home. And Bless This Home, yes. As we talk about blessing the home, we need to really think about what that means, because some of us live in a home all by ourselves. Others of us live in a home where we have impact on other people. We have maybe a wife or a husband and children, and maybe we just have a child, and it's just us, or whatever it may be, whatever your home looks like, wherever you live, whatever you're a part of, God wants you and I to discover His blessing upon our home. Amen?
Amen.
We're talking about peacemakers today. And peacemakers, we're going to go a little more extensive on what that means, and I'm going to give you a couple words from the Hebrew and the Greek, what peace means in those two languages, and explain what it means. But we're going to get into detail with that. But before we do, let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, knowing that you are a God that can change and rearrange lives. And God, as we sit here this morning and stand here this morning, I ask, oh God, that you will enable our minds to be illuminated to your deep, powerful truths through your scriptures. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen.
Amen.
So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed, if you want to go King James, blessed are the peacemakers, right? So blessed, there's this blessing, and we want our homes to be blessed. Well, we need to become peacemakers. And you may say, what does that even mean? What is a peacemaker? What does that look like to be a peacemaker? Well, the Greek word is aria. And aria, and then you're probably more familiar with the Hebrew word, which is shalom. Have you ever heard of that? Now, shalom used to be a greeting. It still is a greeting. Shalom. Right? So, when people speak shalom, there's more to it than just peace. Shalom and these words. I wish you the highest good. Not just a stressless household, but what you're calling out upon somebody, when you call out this peace, is shalom. You're saying, I wish you the highest good. I wish you the greatest peace, the greatest joy in your home. So it's this powerful pronouncement of peace. So when someone says shalom, it doesn't mean peace, just peace. It means I wish you the highest good. So peace makers versus peacekeepers. And a peacekeeper often avoid conflict to keep the peace. Now, peacemakers embrace conflict to make peace. Do you get the difference? So, a peacekeeper often avoid conflict to keep the peace. We all know these types of people. Maybe you are one of them. Maybe you avoid conflict at all costs, and you run from conflict, and you hide from conflict, and if there is a time in which conflict can arise, you do everything you can to get around it. Do you know people, or are you a person like that? Well, we're not called to be that kind of person. We are called to be peacemakers. Embrace conflict to make peace. You get the difference there. So what we're going to do, we're going to go right through the issue and go right into the heart of the matter so we can resolve the issue and bring peace to the home. Bring peace to the relationship. And we need to tackle the issue in order to conquer whatever it may be. And ultimately, if we do that, then what we do is when we become a true peacemaker, we're able to go at almost any issue and be able to find peace as an end result. And that can be difficult and highly stressful for some of us more than others. Some of us have a natural ability to get into conflict, but it's a major issue in our lives, because what we do is we find ourselves in conflict all the time, and that's very unhealthy. What this is talking about, what we're talking about here, is being peacemakers, not peacekeepers. If I'm just a peacekeeper, I'm doing whatever I can to keep peace. See, in order to truly have peace, there needs to be dealing with a situation that is uncomfortable, but in the end can bring peace. You see, nations don't ever achieve peace until they tackle the major issue that they're actually struggling with, correct? If they don't ever tackle that issue, they're not going to fully discover peace. And in order for us in our homes, in our personal lives, to discover peace, we have got to truly be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. I shared this with you last week, but I'm going to share it again because it's really a key thought that overrides all of the messages within this series, and it is, we are not a Christian home. We are a Christ-centered home. See, we are not just a Christian home, a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home. You see, it's easy to put a label, we are a Christian family, right? It's so easy to do that. But what being a Christ-centered home means that everything centers around Christ, rather than just having a title of being Christian. You see, on a personal level, one-on-one level, just me and you, if we're talking, you may say you're a Christian, I may say I'm a Christian, but it's not just speaking the words, it's not just uttering these words, it's actually living the life. It's actually being somebody that truly loves like Christ loves, and truly is genuine and honors God with every part of who we are. This next verse here, and if you notice, I put an insert in the bulletin. I was asked by quite a few people to start doing this because it's helpful. So you have that insert, and here is a verse from Romans 12, 17 through 18, and then verse 21 as well. And it says this. Why don't we read this together? Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We're not really reading this together, are we? Let's try to do that together.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good.
As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on us, on you and me, live at peace with everyone. And living at peace with everyone does not mean being a peacekeeper. Remember, a peacemaker means that sometimes we've got to get directly to the heart of the issue in order to truly establish peace. Because the going around the issue and skirting the issue never really ends up in peace. That's not true peace. It's only peace. It's, people like to use the word hypocrisy, hypocritical. It is hypocritical peace. We should not live in hypocritical peace, because we will never truly discover peace, that genuine peace of a peacemaker. So what do peacemakers do? What do peacemakers look like? What do they do? And you may have never asked this question, and you may have never really even thought of what this means, and you may have read the text in the Beatitudes when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they what? Yeah, children of God, right? So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And what do peacemakers do? Has anyone in here ever asked that question? Nobody. It's not a common question. It's just not a common question that's posed. We live in a society that doesn't talk much about peacemakers. We may talk about peace, and in the 60s, there were a lot of peace, man, right? Peace, man, yeah, right? And then we saw people doing this for victory, Nixon, right? And he did not have good victory, did he? Toward the end of his career there. But what do peacemakers do? The first thing that peacemakers do is tell the truth in love. You ready for that? Tell the truth in love. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Ephesians 4:15. So there's this telling the truth in love, and it is absolutely vital to being a peacemaker, and it can be incredibly difficult to tell the truth in love. And some people say they're telling the truth in love, but they're really doing it in hate. The key is to realize that you genuinely care about somebody, and you know you need to share the truth with them in love, but are you ready for this? You need to pray before you share. And if you're not prayer-minded and prayer-focused, then your truth, it may be truth, but it may come out in hate. If people know you love them and care for them, then they're going to hear those words coming from a deep place within your heart that is genuine and caring and compassionate and loving. And even if they don't at the time, ultimately, due to the relationship that you have, they will prayerfully ultimately see that it is love. I wrote down some things. This is when you need to tell the truth in love. During non-conflict times. Did you hear that? Tell the truth in love during non-conflict times. And a second thing is, attack the issue, never the person. Attack the issue, never the person. Some of you may need to write that down, those two down. Because maybe this is an overriding factor in all the relationships that you've ever been in, and these two issues have hindered you from being a loving, caring, compassionate person.
Sorry.
The first one is during non-conflict times is when you should approach somebody. And the second one is attack the issue, not the person. Everybody say that last one.
Attack the issue, not the person.
Because we can have a tendency to start attacking the person, even though it's an issue. And we pin the issue on the person. We can't do that. The issue may have to do with the person, but it is the issue that needs to be dealt with. And yes, maybe the person needs to be dealt with, but not in the manner in which it's approached. The approach has everything to do with the display of love. The second thing. You ready for this? Apologize when you are wrong. Let's say this together.
Oh. What?
Apologize.
Guys, when you are wrong.
Apologize when you are wrong. When you are wrong, apologize. We often have a tendency not to apologize, even though we know we're wrong. Because we always want to be what? Right. We feel better when we're right. We feel, I'm right. They're wrong. They're always wrong. I'm always right. Guess what? If you think you're always right, you are wrong. And if you think you're always wrong, you're wrong because you're right. Sometimes. Right?
Wait. What? Right? Right.
You think you're always right.
When you are wrong.
You're wrong. You think you're always wrong. You're
therefore,
right.
Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Now, this particular passage, if we're taking it into context, it's talking about the laying on of hands of the elders and what we are to do when elders lay hands on us for healing. And therefore, confess your sins to each other. When was the last time you confessed your sin to a brother or sister in Christ?
Yesterday.
You don't do it too frequently. It's not a frequent occurrence because we do not like admitting that we are wrong. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. We need to confess our sins to each other and pray. You can truly pray for one another and for ourselves. Because apologize when you're wrong, that is a hard thing to do. Because most of us have pride issues. And most of us don't want to admit that we have pride issues. But the pride gets in the way of a true apology. All right. Admit to specific activities with no excuses. Did you get that? You need to admit to specific activities with no excuses. You can't go like this. Well, you know, I got angry at you, and I'm sorry, but I'm angry because of this, what you did. If you didn't do this, then I wouldn't be angry. And if you didn't do that, then I wouldn't be angry, right? That's not really an apology, is it, though? It's like, I apologize, but you did the wrong here. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
All of us have done that. A few times?
Yes.
There's a big difference between remorse and repentance. Do you get that? Okay. Remorse is when we realize we did something wrong. Oh, man, I did something wrong. Repentance is when we realize that we've sinned. You see, when you realize we've sinned and we need to turn and do a 180, remorse is like, oh man, I got found out. Oh man, I stole the cookie from the cookie jar. Who, me? Yeah, you, right? Could be then who? But it was really me, but I'm saying it could be me. That'd be you. Right? But the reality, I was the one that stole the cookie from the cookie jar. And I got found out. And then I say, I guess I got found out. But it's not about getting found out. It's about, you know, being remorseful. But then it's also coming to the place of true repentance. True repentance is not just because we got found out. True repentance is when we come to a place where we realize that we are a wretched sinner. Ready? I just used the word wretched. Yeah, I did. I used the word wretched sinner. And a lot of us don't like to believe that we're really sinners. And we definitely don't like to believe that we're wretched sinners. But we come to that place where we realize we are a sinner that needs to turn and do that 180 and turn to an all-loving, gracious God that is quick to forgive. And we have a God that forgives genuinely and lovingly and compassionately. And I wonder if people actually see that. When we apologize, or if our apologies are shallow. I remember there was a time I decided to dive into an above ground pool. And I hit my shoulder on the bottom.
Ooh.
I didn't break anything though.
Oh, okay.
But it hurt for a long time and I had a nice bruise. That was many years ago. But guess what? I didn't forget that. Because we live shallow lives. When we dive into the shallow waters, we're going to get hurt. God wants us to dive into the deep waters and get deep in the faith and discover who He is. And have you ever dove down? Maybe you don't like swimming, but you dive down deep into the water and it feels like you're just going down deeper. And it's just this exhilarating feeling, and then you pop up out of the water. Woo! Right? It's this exhilarating feeling. And that's the kind of faith that God wants us to discover and have. He doesn't want us to have this shallow faith, where we're constantly getting beat up and bent and broken and injured and wounded. He wants us to have a faith where, yeah, if we do get beat up and broken in this life, that's not going to take our joy. It's never going to steal our joy. Nobody can steal our joy, no matter who it is, no matter what it is, because that joy comes from the Spirit. And nobody can take the Spirit from us. Got a little excited.
That's all right.
third thing, what do peacemakers do? They forgive and let go. This is maybe the most difficult element of being a peacemaker. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13. This can be an overwhelming time for some of us because some of us have had some horrible, horrible things that have been done to us. People that maybe were supposed to protect us, harmed us, did great abuse to us, either psychologically, physically, or otherwise. And maybe we have not even been able to forgive them in our adult life. And maybe it's been so painful and so hurtful, we just want to forget about it. I want to tell you straight up that if we can't learn to properly forgive, that person, whomever it may be, has a stronghold over you. And the enemy can use that stronghold to move you away from God and pull you away from where God would have you go. And the freedom that you can experience in forgiveness, you won't be able to discover because you haven't been able to forgive. And yes, forgiveness can take some time. We all can recognize that. But the goal for us should be, I know how important it is to forgive. And realistically, that person may never apologize to you. That person may never come to a place of repentance. But it is very, very important for us, for our soul, for our well-being, for us as men and women and children and people of the faith, that we need to learn the power of forgiveness. And some of us are so hurt and so broken by that junk and debris from our past that it's so hard to release it and let go of it. And we hold a grudge and we hold a pain and we are so upset and so angry that we can't come to that place of freedom. And it is absolutely critical to be a peacemaker. Forgive and let go. That is so hard. Because we have difficulty. The forgiveness element, we can say with our words, I forgive, but we haven't let go. We still hold on to it. And then that person, what we do is we bring it back up. And we jab them with a knife. And we jab them. And we just keep throwing things at them, throwing rocks, throwing stones. And every time something comes up, it just comes afresh and anew, right? And the wound is still there. And the pain is still there. But guess what? If we truly forgive, we're able to let go. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. This next verse here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children. Let's all say that together.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are the peacemakers. I wonder if we actually embrace these three seemingly simple principles. If we embrace these three, what would happen on our day-to-day journey with God? What would happen as we interact with other humans? What would happen if we come to this place where we're genuinely able to live our lives, to tell the truth in love, to apologize when we are wrong, and to forgive and let go? If we had those three elements in our day-to-day life, and we lived it. We don't just talk about it, but we live it. How would that reshape us? Would someone say, that's a peacemaker? That person is a peacemaker. I want some of that. Let's pray. Lord God, you call us out to higher purpose. purposes, God. Father, you know our hearts, you know our minds. Lord, you desire us to discover purity in heart and mind. Lord, you desire us to be peacemakers. And Father, your Spirit can move powerfully within us to transform us to be like you. And God, it's not about a little bracelet that's worn that says WWJD or a little badge that says I'm a Christian or whatever it may be. Lord, we want to live our lives according to your principles, God, and according to your power, not our own. Father, may your Spirit so powerfully fall upon us, God, that we will not ever desire to move away from purity and righteousness and holiness. God, that we would only desire to pursue holiness and righteousness for your name's sake. God, as we pursue you, may we discover what it means to truly be a peacemaker. God, allow us to confront issues that we need to confront. Allow us to forgive. Allow us to love. Allow us to show mercy. Allow us to show the power of forgiveness. God, we can't do it on our own. But Lord, as we move closer to you, I ask, Father, that we will be people that walk by faith and not by sight, and embrace you as the God that saves and resurrects dead things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.